the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Before May Day became a national holiday in communist countries to demonstrate the solidarity of working people, May Day was a simple celebration throughout the world that marked the revival of life in early spring after a long, hard winter. Spring flowers would be gathered by young and old, and they would dance around the maypole as they celebrated these ancient rites of spring. Many people believe that May Day began with the ancient Druids, who worshipped trees. Trees and plants have oftentimes been an object of worship for people. And certainly, trees and plants take on human qualities in many cultures, even our own. It shouldn't surprise us that there are some in our culture who encourage us to talk to our plants, to play soothing music to them, to touch them so that they might grow better. Unless we think that this is a figment of their imagination, there is credible scientific evidence that trees, for example, like these oaks that are attacked by gypsy moth caterpillars, that these trees somehow communicate to other trees by means of chemical secretions to alarm them to set up their own chemical defense mechanisms against these moths. Perhaps we should be more tender with our plants. Our Lord spoke to a fig tree on his way into Jerusalem that first Holy Week. It was early in the morning, he was hungry, and he sees this fig tree along the side of the road. And he goes up to it in order to get some food from it. And he finds that it is barren, that it only has leaves on it. And what he does at that point seems to us somewhat surprising and strange, especially when he speaks these harsh words, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And immediately the fig tree withers. Now, needless to say, the disciples marveled that this fig tree so quickly withered. And they were surprised, probably because Jesus, by his words, had done this. And yet they had seen how Jesus' words had produced all kinds of miracles during his ministry. What perhaps surprised them most was why. We too have seen how Jesus' words do what they say what they will do. And we know that his word is capable of creation and therefore is capable of reversing the process towards destruction. But we too, with the disciples, wonder why. Now, Philip and James, who we commemorate this day, they were eyewitnesses of this event. These two were part of that inner apostolic circle, even though Philip is the better known of the two. And they are linked together on this day because their remains were brought to Rome to the Church of the Apostles in early May of 561 AD. And those early Christians in that culture probably celebrated May Day as a feast of the spring, but during that day they would have taken a moment to commemorate these two somewhat obscure apostles by means of this Gospel. Now, certainly, Philip and James would have been clueless as to the meaning of this event and this action of Jesus in that first Holy Week. Why kill this poor fig tree in the middle of the early morning there? Mark's Gospel makes it even more problematic because he tells us that it's not even the season for this fig tree to bring forth fruit. And so we sit here asking ourselves, why would Jesus expect this fig tree to give fruit? And then why does he kill it by withering it to its very roots? Well, if we revisit the command of Jesus and look at this translation a little more literally, perhaps we might have an answer to this. Instead of translating as our text did, "May no fruit ever come from you again," if we translate instead this, we may have an answer. "May no fruit come from you until the end of the age." Now, that little prepositional phrase we usually translate "forever," but it literally means "to the end of the age," or "to the end of this age, this era." Now, a barren tree in Israel was a sign of the fall of Adam and the fact that the creation needed to be restored. And a barren fig tree, a withered tree, is a sign that the age of blessing and restoration had not yet come to Israel. There needed to be death before there was resurrection and new fruit. And this fig tree would not bear fruit until the new era of salvation had come into being. But this age to come was close at hand. At the end of this very Holy Week, when Jesus spoke words to this fig tree that withered it, creation would groan with earthquakes, and darkness would cover the face of the earth for 3 hours. The seventh day of Genesis 2, which has no evening, was coming to an end in darkness. The Father was still working, and the Son was working too, his recreation of the world. Jesus was about to enter into his rest, but before he could, the earth would quake at its recreation because the Creator of all things was hanging from a tree of death and a tree of life, bringing in a new creation with his death. Jesus, whose word caused this fig tree to wither, will speak from the cross to declare that the end of the age has come. He will cry, "It is finished," because he, the Son, has completed the final work of recreation. And in 3 days, a new creation will dawn through the life of the resurrected Christ, who bursts the bonds of death and brings in this end of the age. Now fig trees can bear fruit in season and out of season, for an eternal May Day has dawned. Spring is eternal in a church that celebrates new life in Jesus Christ, and May flowers may now bloom even in the dead of winter, for the refreshing waters of new life flow throughout this new age of salvation, and heavenly food is present to sustain even now in this everlasting spring. This new era of salvation, however, does not dawn apart from faith. Faith looks to the future in sure hope and confidence that all creation is restored in Jesus Christ. Jesus has made his Passover from life through death and back to life again. And these two obscure apostles, Philip and James, who saw Jesus wither that fig tree, they also saw the marks of his hands and his feet after he rose from the dead. They heard Peter preach at Pentecost, and through his words, people came to life in Christ and were baptized. They saw abundant fruit in a church that bore this fruit despite persecution and suffering through their very own preaching. They saw faith that could say to this mountain, "Be taken up and cast into the sea," and it was done. On this May Day, as we commemorate St. Philip and St. James, we bear witness with them that we receive every gift we ask for in prayer with faith, because a new age has dawned. The risen Christ is present in his church with an everlasting spring. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.